Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having another walk through the Welsh Hills today. Today we have a big treat because there's hardly any wind, which is a nice, very pleasant, rare occasion here. So we want to do the next episode of our Lao Tzu series. We're now on chapter 43. So let's have a read through and then see what we think about what he was turning over in his mind on the day that he wrote this one.
The very softest thing of all can ride like a galloping horse through the hardest of things, like water penetrating rock. And so the invisible enters in. That is why I know it is wise to act by doing nothing. And how very few understand this. People teach in the world what I know to be true. If you live violently, that is how you will die.
Bit of foreboding in the last line there.
Yeah. Well,
there seems to be an awful lot of living violently going on at the moment.
Well, he was a peacenik, our man.
Not just violently in the sense of physical violence, but there's just an awful lot of
cyber violence, gaslighting, trolling.
Yeah.
Actual real violence as well, actually. The world's still
violent. Yeah, real violence against the person, but the way that, you know, like for instance, I consider not bothering to manage the pandemic and letting thousands and thousands of people die a violent act, things like that.
In order to
political gain.
In order to funnel money to your mates in your rich, in your cabal of the 0.001%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all violence.
And just stripping away the human rights and workers' rights and all this stuff that they're doing just to make people, the ordinary people, suffer even more than they are doing already. All that's just like a very violent way to behave and to live.
Yeah. Well, Lao Tzu, as we frequently mention, was writing at the time of the Warring States. And he was escaping from all that in his old age. He was retiring. And he was kind of world weary. But he was a definite peacenik. And peace is the great good. There's no good like peace, you know. If you go back over our podcast, you will find that I do recall one a few years ago about how pieces are good. I've also done stuff about the military-industrial complex, the war industry, the making of profit through waging war, or if not waging war, persuading governments to spend their money, society's wealth, on the instruments of war, weapons and so forth. So it's a great concern for me, and it's why, amongst other reasons, I find Lao Tzu worth studying, though I know it's remote and mystical, and you might have some reservations about applying such matters to current affairs and current politics. And I agree, you have to be careful, but basically this view is tremendously practical and useful for people trying to figure out how we manage these times, what we do about these times, try and figure out what is to be done. And there's a great urgency about getting mobilised in these times, because there's so many crises all coming at the same time and mutually reinforcing. But the strategy is there. Straight away in the first line, when he says, the very softest thing of all can ride like a galloping horse through the hardest of things. And he's trying to suggest to us how we might find the power of softness, the power of non-doing, the power of non-action, the power of yielding when necessary. And if you remember that the forces of the state in our modern world are absolutely colossal. In many parts of the world, the police have militarised. The US military-industrial complex has kept its wheels grinding by selling military equipment to the police. So the US has got a militarised police. And I suspect that Europe ain't far behind. Gonna pause. If you try to go toe-to-toe with that machine and meet force with force, and hope to match the strength of what you're against, you won't do it. But the lesson is that a rock can be worn away by incessant water, yet water is soft. In fact, you sometimes get this stanza translated as, "The highest good is like water," which is a very nice direct translation. "Nothing is softer, yet it comes again and again and wears down the stone." And that is how we must be active through this kind of non-action, through this softness. When faced with a strength that we can't match, then he goes on, "That is why I know it is wise to act by doing nothing." And how few, how very few understand this. Well, certainly none of our rulers understand it. They're hyperactive, if anything. But you need to understand that by doing nothing, it doesn't mean doing nothing. You know, Wu Wei, non-doing, doing nothing, can actually be sort of quite active. You can paint a picture by doing nothing, by allowing the flow to take over the brush. By playing music, you can do the same. And it's even, according to Lao Tzu, it's applicable to social affairs and politics and the organisation of society as well. And it's not to say do nothing, but it's a subtlety, it's a recommendation of subtlety and a light touch and going with the grain of your material. Now, you might think this is a bit similar to the small government of neoliberalism, you know, and that it would preclude, if we were to apply this philosophy, any kind of action by some kind of focus of our collective power as a society in order to do the things that we need to do collectively. No, it's not that. It isn't that. But it does suggest that when we need what we currently call government, but what really should be at its best a focus of collective power into some kind of agency or agencies that can do the things we need to do collectively, like deal with a pandemic, organise the essential goods of life, you know, the essential goods of modern life, electricity, connectivity, water, shelter, these kind of things. And this, I think, is an invitation to relook at that from scratch, to actually relook at the notion of government from scratch. And rather than thinking we just do a repetition of Soviet Russia or Maoist China or Attlee's Britain of the 1940s. So that's a point, you know, not to take doing nothing too literally. It's doing without doing, and it's partly to do with discovering our enormous powers of spontaneous action and our enormous powers of working with the grain of things. And our society has classically worked against the grain of things, which is why we just went into accruing strength and energy and the powers and speeds of mass production and machine society, industrial society, with the consequence that we've now almost trashed the life support system, the environment, the atmosphere, the water, the soil, the oceans. And that's because we went against the grain of those things with our obsession with doing. Lao Tzu says non-doing. He doesn't say don't avail yourself of the goods of your ingenuity, but employ it wisely and subtly and carefully with a full, you know, holistic sense of the context in which you're acting. And that's the environmental context, the social context, the human context as well. Go with the grain of those things. And I think if we understood that as a systems thinking protocol and sat down collectively to at least having the conversation about what exactly does government mean and how can we create something fresh from through these protocols that will enable us collectively to focus our energy and do the things that we need to do on that scale. So I think there's a lot of contemporary relevance in this. As he says, very, very few understand this. I said our leaders don't. Our technologists haven't. Fantastic. For 300 years and more. And our societies and governmental institutions are not organised along those lines. And it makes you think, well, Lao Tzu is dead right. People are just oblivious to this extraordinary power of non-doing or doing nothing, as he calls it. It's just intelligent doing is doing nothing. It's not passivity. It's not lying down in the snow and waiting for death. It's not conservatism. It's not neoliberal small government theory. It's just, it's intelligent doing, and it can be applied on many, many levels, from that of the artist, the individual living their ordinary human life, but to society and institutions and in fact, any level of organisation, there is room to work with this protocol.
So just a thought, would you say that not doing, say a ruler not doing and being successful in ruling, it would be like they were responding to unfolding events in a very flexible and sensitive way, rather than making a static plan and sticking to it through hell and high water and then having to make some highly embarrassing U-turns because the stuff they come up with is useless.
Yeah. Well, I think something in that. But I don't think it precludes planning, you know.
And
tactics.
But the plan would have a kind of a sensitivity and flexibility sort of built into the plan.
Well, yeah, that is where it would differ from making very rigid plans, you know, and having a command economy and all the rest of it. It has to be flexible. I mean, this is the lesson of flexibility. But at the same time, the water wearing down the rock is relentless. And it's, you know, you would have the tactic that you're very soft and you can yield tactically in the moment. But, you know, in the next moment, you're back there washing over the rock and eventually the rock will be worn away. Mm. And the rock is the resistance to your new paradigm, your new society, your better community. So you can have plans, but you have to have a built-in flexibility to it. And I think the water on the rock metaphor is extremely apposite here. This can be misinterpreted as meaning that one is simply opportunistic and tactical only, and never strategic, and never plans. But it throws a new light on planning, tells you it mustn't be rigid. But it also tells you that if you have a good goal that is in line with the grain of things, that it you can accomplish it just by determination and relentlessness and flexibility and yielding when that is required. So I think that is what the implication is for organisation along social and political lines, which seems to be the way we want to talk about this today. Of course, you can apply all this to your meditation as well. You know, you can meet some hard rocks in your meditation, but you can you keep flowing. The water keeps flowing, and eventually it wears it away. You know, and it's like non-doing, not rigid application of technique. That's just doomed to fail as any kind of meditative enterprise. It's not what you do. You know, flow, be like water.
Like the water always flows downhill, but we'll have to navigate obstacles by just flowing around them.
Yeah, but it will wear them away eventually.
Yeah.
Even though it can still proceed. The obstacles are not obstacles, and eventually they'll disappear anyway. So as we generally find here, Lao Tzu speaks on about 12 levels at once. It's about your meditation, it's about relationship, it's about society, it's about politics, it's about organising a community, it's about organisation per se. And it's about living. I kind of think it's pretty marvellous. But the last lines, you know, if you live violently, that is how you will die. Kind of tells you what this is for. It's for peace, it's for personal peace. Peace with yourself, in your actuality. It's only about peace amongst communities and within communities and amongst people. And the great good on the human level beyond this is peace. And peace, is, I have to say to you, is a very great good. So altogether, a top performance from our boy here.
Oh, we're just walking past quite a full stream. Must have been a bit of rain in the night by the looks of that.
It's worn itself a channel down there, look.
Yeah.
Beautiful sound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Music.
Anyway, I hope everyone found that interesting. I hope you're all well. And we'll speak to you soon.
Yes. Thank you for listening. Joachim Rando. And particularly to our patrons, who help us to keep this ticking over. And be on standby, there's lots of stuff on the anvil.
Oh, yes.
Wash your hands, take care.